Thank you for being here today. Amen. What a great place to be. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, I want to ask you to do something with me. I want you to ask God to let His will be done in your life. And then unite together in asking for His kingdom to come right here, right now. Can we do that together? God, in your name, we give ourselves completely and unreservedly to you. We pray that your will would be done in this place today, right here, right now. We pray in Jesus' name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now let's lift our hands and worship him. Let's give him some praise. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, and you may be seated. It is indeed a privilege to come and speak to you today. If I get a little too, I don't know how to say it, direct, it's because I'm not real sure I have many more chances to preach. At my age, every opportunity is an added blessing. Amen. So whatever God wants to say, you don't need to hear me, but I want you to hear him. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to start out by telling you something that happened about 15 or 20 years ago. It didn't key this message this morning, but it did come back to me as I studied for this. We had a couple of beautiful services on a Sunday out in Montana in the church that I pastored out there in Billings. Next morning, Monday morning, a friend of mine, a young man that I was working with, stopped by the fast food restaurant to get a cup of coffee and talk about what had happened yesterday. And as we were talking, suddenly our attention was grasped by a group across the small restaurant who were also talking about church. But the fellow that was saying everything was saying, "I am leaving Billings. There's not a church in this city that knows how to move with the Holy Ghost. And I've been to all of them." Oh, you've heard those kind of personalities before and all of that. So we sat there and I mulled that over a little bit. And finally, I just got up and walked over and introduced myself to him, the man that was speaking. And I said, "I heard your comment that you had visited all the churches in Billings." He said, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "And none in Billings had a move of the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Yeah, that's true, not one." I said, "That's strange. I pastor a church right down the street here. I haven't seen you. And I can guarantee you that if you'd come and visit, there would be a move of the Holy Ghost." Not because of me, but because God is there. All right. He said, "Where's your church?" And I said, "About 3 blocks right down here on the right, right close by the Bible bookstore." He said, "Oh, that church." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you been there?" He said, "No, I've never been there." I said, "Well, I'd like for you to be a little more accurate in your statements. If you haven't been there, you don't know." And he said, "When do you have service?" And I told him, and he came. And he was only there another couple of months, but he came every service from that day forward. We need to appreciate the church of God that we're a part of. It is vital that we understand how important it is for God to be here among us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Mark Morgan, one of our highly regarded elders, preached in a recent meeting in a message that he gave. He said that he was again contemplating and studying why Jesus, in his earthly teaching, used the term the kingdom of heaven interchangeably with the kingdom of God. At one time or another, all sincere Bible students have wondered about that and asked a similar question. Having spent the last year or two studying the kingdom of God, this caused me to pull out my Greek-English New Testament and look at this subject again. I found that the Greek term for the kingdom of heaven could also be accurately translated kingdom from the heavenlies. The kingdom from the heavenlies, which would actually be the same as the kingdom of God. So they can accurately be interchanged. However, this brings up another question. The kingdom of God is the kingdom from the heavenlies. If that's true, then where does the church come from? The answer is, in my estimation, I'm going to condense down what I've been studying for a while. Hopefully you realize it's not just off the top of my head. The answer is, in my mind, the church of Jesus Christ actually comes from the earth. His church is made up from human flesh, out of the mud and the dust of the earth. But let's start at the beginning. First, I want you to consider how important God's church is to Jesus. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus promised his disciples, "I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This tells us that Jesus was looking into the future, and in so doing, he was making his church a vital and important part of his kingdom. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, and just before he ascended into heaven, he instructed his disciples to go to Jerusalem, and there in Acts 1 and 4, wait for the promise of the Father. You see it there in the middle of the verse? Wait for the promise of the Father. Then verse 5 defined that promise as being baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then Acts 2, 1 and 4, very familiar scripture, tells us this promise was kept after they had obeyed Jesus and returned to Jerusalem and prayed, waited for several days. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. I also did a little study a while back on the little word all. What does it mean? It means all. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And there it is again. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. All of them. I have longed for many years to be in a service just like this where everybody receives the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of us need the Holy Ghost? All of us. All of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Most Bible scholars accept the fact that this account in the book of Acts was the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And the church began with life. Fire and life, tongues of fire, and wind accompanied the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In fact, in Acts 11 and 15, Peter defines this as being at the beginning, or we might say when the church began. Now, it's very easy for us, you and me, to take this church, its services, and its relationship with God for granted. In several places, the New Testament emphasizes the importance of the church of God and its vital part of God's kingdom. But let me tell you this. There has always been, ever since there's been a church, a diabolical plan coming from the devil to destroy any sign of life from church worship services. Listen to me again. The devil wants every church to be a dead church. The enemy prefers a boring lecture any day to an anointed Bible study. He'd much rather have a social or political commentary on Sunday than a God-anointed, heaven-sent, conviction-bringing Holy Ghost sermon. He much prefers a formal, stilted, highly structured, two songs, a prayer, and a three-point sermonette. He prefers that to any kind of moving of the Holy Ghost, searching of the soul, seeking after God. That's the reason I'm encouraging us this morning. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak and move and bless in this place. Let's make this place alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now let me say something a little bit controversial here. Going back to Acts 2, I firmly believe the church has, since the very beginning, always existed in human history. Back to the book of Acts. I know that there was a little pamphlet I read in the early days about the time during the Dark Ages and century two before and after, where the church was dead and all of this kind of stuff. But I also found, in my searching through the years, a book that traced the move of the Holy Ghost from Acts to the present time. And I want you to know, even when it seemed the church was dead, there were hungry people in certain places seeking and worshiping and praising God. And God was blessing them. God was pouring His Spirit out upon them. They were jabbering and they didn't know what to call it, but they were speaking in tongues with the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. It's always been here. Of course, it's been. The church is a mystery. The church is a secret. It's God's secret. You won't find us, thank God, in the headlines of the daily news. In fact, great things can happen in the church and the rest of the world don't even know it. Good things can happen. We can keep on doing good, never get credit for it. That's all right. Amen. I'm not sure God wants us in the headlines. I don't think He wants us out being spread all over. I think He wants us to work wherever we are, faithfully, lifting Him up, praying and talking to God and believing in God and obeying God. You see, He's put in every one of us a free will. We can get just as close to God as we want, or we can also walk away from Him. And when we walk away from Him, when we ignore Him, or when we avoid Him because of our free will, He just lets us go. And He does. God doesn't make us do anything. When Jesus chose His disciples, actually, the only characteristic they all shared was their willingness to obey and follow Him. All we need to do in this church, in His church, is just continue to be willing and obedient and submitted to Him, to where He can continue to move upon us and through us and in us. Amen. Now, this may explain, or it does explain to me, the fact that many organized churches made up of many people who no longer follow and obey Him are no longer part of His church. I'm not being judgmental. That's not a judgment call. It's just a plain, simple fact. But it is a fact that is verified by history. There's why there's so many different organized groups calling themselves churches. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling you, since you have found a church bent on submitting to Jesus Christ and obeying the Word of God, following hard after Jesus, we need to appreciate that and stay there. Amen. There might be some other opportunities, but I know what's here. Amen. 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 Now, I want to say to you here that there has been a continual purpose of God through His church down through the ages. If God's kingdom comes from heaven, comes down from heaven, but the church comes up out of the earth, where people are recreated by God, they are born again out of the dust and mud of the earth, what in the world is the church supposed to do? I submit to you today that the church is the meeting place. But it's not just the meeting place. There are three different areas. I'm not going to preach on all three of them. I just want to let you know where I'm coming from. First of all, it's where we can get together. Most of you walk out of these doors tonight after service and go 100 different directions. Off on back, and you wake up tomorrow morning with a monotonous, regular, daily job to make a living. Thank God for jobs. Amen. Praise God. And we get together. We don't get together maybe Wednesday night or some other meeting we've got going, but we don't really get together a whole lot through the week. So this is a meeting place for us. And I thank God for every one of you, all of you. But I want to say that that's meeting number one. Meeting number two, this is the place where we meet God and God meets us. We talk to God and God talks to us. Has God talked to you yet today? Sure. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for talking to us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for talking to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me right here. A while back, I heard an apostolic preacher who is heavily anointed by God expressing his concern about the tendency of too many people to be critical of their church. Well, it's quiet right here, huh? And we, you and I, have often wondered about those criticisms, right? You can say amen. As I said, this man was heavily anointed as he spoke a powerful statement to me. He said, and I quote, "There is really nothing wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ. The problem has always been and still is the people in that church." Wow, what a statement. Amen, amen. I've said this before. The Church of Jesus Christ is designed and developed to be a colony of heaven right here on earth. Amen. It is the footprint of Jesus Christ right here. It is to be an embassy of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom from the heavenlies. Thus, the church is not really the kingdom of God, but it is a vital part of that kingdom. And as long as we stay close to and follow and obey God, we will remain in the church. Amen. If I had a statement to make, it'd be encouraging and urging all of us to stay in the church. Stay in the church. Brother Seidel quoted me last weekend something I said in passing to him one day. I said, in my studies, I have never seen in Revelation, Daniel, wherever you read, I have never seen an individual person in heaven. The church is there. And I've said it like this, there are no lone rangers in heaven. A church is there. That puts a whole new meaning on stay in the church. Amen. Amen. Now, we can't speak much about the church, in my mind, without going to Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul talks about the church. In fact, the first three chapters speaks of the exalted relationship Jesus Christ has with His church. There are some great things here. Ephesians 1 and 9, Paul calls the church the mystery of His will. according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You see, the church wasn't seen in its final form in the Old Testament. It began the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Then in verse 10, Paul further says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, how many? One, all things in Christ. Listen, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Now this is the third meeting. The first we meet with one another. Second we meet with God. Third, the kingdom of heaven, when we have church, meets with the church. Hallelujah. And that's probably the most important meeting of all. When you walk in those doors, friend, you are walking into the kingdom of God. You are walking into the presence of God. You are walking into the power of God. You're walking into the church of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's thank him for the church. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is not just me and you. It's not just us and God. It's the kingdom of God on earth. When we lift him up and worship him and praise him and magnify him. Hallelujah. Let me point out something that's very common to us. I can say to you right here, right now, man, I really feel the presence of God. How many times have you heard a Bible teacher or a preacher say that? Those same words. You know why? The kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. This is the meeting place of God's church and the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something. Whatever you need this morning, God can supply that need. Because his kingdom is here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whatever disease you may have, God can heal that because the kingdom is here and he is here and he is moving. And he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. He is here. He is right here. Lift our hands and praise him again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad for the church. So thrilled about the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. The 10th verse. The 10th verse tells us that all things he brought might gather together in one, all things in Christ. In modern English, this tells us God's purpose for the church. His good pleasure was at the right time to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Jesus Christ. Jesus is here. The old chorus said, Jesus is here, anything can happen. You still believe that, folks? Thus the kingdom of God from heaven and God's church on earth come together at this meeting place in the church service. You can never, never lift high enough getting to the house of God. Getting into the presence of God, feeling the power of God and the presence of God. I'm reminded of a young family that during one of the bad snowstorms that hit our area of the country, in the middle of just before church started in one service night, the door flew open. They'd been off to Nebraska on vacation. They'd come back through Wyoming and Montana fighting the storms, sliding and slipping, and made it finally home. And they got to the church and they parked and they were still dressed kind of casual from traveling. They stumbled into the door of the church and I said, hey, look who's home. He said, yeah, it is so great to be home. There's a lot of people that stumble around in our world trying to make it from one day to the next. Oh, how we need the church. We need to be here where the kingdom comes down and the God of glory works among us. We need this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Out of the storms of life. Amen. Amen. See, in this church, in these services, we've found the meeting place where we meet with God and where service after service, God meets with us. I thank God today for the Church of Jesus Christ, the meeting place, the meeting place. Amen. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we read, Christ loved the church. Aren't you glad he loves the church? We'd be in a world of hurt if he didn't. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, in Ephesians 2 and 1, Paul reminds us that we were once dead in trespasses and sins, but he gave us life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you hath he quickened. That means made alive. Hey, he didn't just breathe a little life into you. He gave you life and that more abundantly. You don't have to live on some low level where you barely exist. He wants you in his church, worshiping him and praising him and living for him and obeying him and following him. He wants to give you abundant life. Abundant life. Amen, amen, amen. And he tells us where we were. He said that, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world. Then he turns around and reinforces that in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. So he really does want us to live. Then he gives us an even greater promise in verse 6 when he says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can you visualize this? Jesus Christ comes down. He wraps his long arms around us all. And he says, come on up a little higher. I want to bless you even more. I want to enlighten your mind. I want to tell you a few things. I want to explain these things to you. I want you to understand there's more for you if you'll just enjoy being in the service. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Here again is validation that the kingdom joins with the church in praise and worship. God wraps his long arms around us, as I've said, lifts us up to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where does all this happen? Our church services have become the meeting place where we come together as his church, joining with the kingdom of God just to praise and worship him. We all have needs. Anybody say amen? I'm always amazed when somebody asks, if somebody have an unspoken need that you'd like us to help you pray for? Hands go up all over the church. And I've gotten to where when I pray for the needs of the church, I pray that God would move upon every need in the church. Because we all have needs. We all have needs. Amen. God knows we all need a meeting place away from the pressures of this life. We also need a communication center, a place where we can talk to God both privately and together, corporately. And we all need a place where we can hear from him. In other words, we need a meeting place. I don't know of anybody that's kind of wandered off that hasn't recognized after being a week or two or a few months away from God, suddenly they realize, hey, something happened to me. I'm not where I should be. I don't love God like I once did. I haven't really received his spirit lately. I got to get back and get right. Where are you going to go? You're going back to the meeting place. You're going back to the church of God. You're going back to the place where God can lift you up and fill you again and cleanse you of your past and anoint you and use you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need a designated place of worship. I'm so glad we have one. A place where we can worship him, separated from the world. We need a place where we can both physically and spiritually connect. with the church and the kingdom of God. A meeting place where people with deep experiences with God can connect with each other. I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. Amen. Hallelujah. We need our meeting place where we can sing to Him, sending up exciting and exuberant praises. Not always in the right key, not always hitting the right note, but we're praising Him, and that's all that matters. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we'll always need a place of blessing, a meeting place of abundant blessing, where God not only can do it, He will do it. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. That place is provided by the regular services of God's church because we've been changed. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, Brother Carl mentioned the importance of now. Say it with me. Now. When? Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are somebody. You are genuine. You are right with God. You are here. And now you are part of the family. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My word to you today is this. These services in this church are of vital importance to all of us. Let me interject something here. I feel like at least some of you need to hear. We have raised a generation of young people who are great, powerful. I would not be critical of them at all. However, I do need to say that they go out in this world and visit with other church members as if they were Spirit-filled, God-anointed, God-blessed, baptized in Jesus' name. Hey, folks, there is a difference. There is a difference. Amen. Amen. Understand, we all need a meeting place. And I want to say this in appreciation to the staff that serves in leadership here, where our sermons and Bible studies come out of the Word of God, not some fancy book somewhere. Amen. It's a meeting place where God's glory can be seen and heard like a rushing mighty wind. Where the preachers of the gospel have a tongue of fire resting on them. And you recognize that there's something there that other churches and other pastors don't have. Thank God for His Spirit and His power and His might. Let thy kingdom come. Amen. Say it with me. Let your kingdom come. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God's glory in this meeting place is not just heard, but it's felt. When conviction sweeps down and tears flow and hearts are touched, where people are moved by the Spirit of God, where the altar or the place of prayer is filled with hungry, searching hearts, we need our meeting place where wounded, abused souls can come together for healing and nurturing. We need our meeting place where souls can meet their God on level ground at the foot of the cross. Amen. We need our meeting place where all racial and cultural people from various backgrounds can come together under the same roof, and all people can enjoy together His presence and His power and His anointing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the church where discouraged people can be encouraged and strengthened. Amen. Where those bound in the bonds of sin, chains can break, as they were singing this morning. Those that are caught up in bad habits that have hold of them can be set free. Amen. Where those in need of physical healing can receive a healing from the presence of God. Amen, amen. Presence of God that abides in the faith of God, of the people of God, at the meeting place of God. Amen. Let's get a little spiritual today and admit that we really do need our meeting place where sincere prayer directs the music and the instruments. Amen. And true worship motivates the singing. We need that meeting place where great faith receives the tithes and offerings. Brother Carl, let me assure you, we'll do that much for She's for Christ, if not better, because that's important for us. Amen. It's important to get the word out, to build churches, to send missionaries, to help the orphanages. Amen. We need our meeting place where anointed leadership promotes, pushes, and encourages fasting and praying and seeking God. Where the Spirit of God anoints every sermon, inspires every Bible study. Where conviction fills the altars of prayer in every service. That's the church we need. That's the meeting place we need. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We go a little bit further. We need a meeting place where it's all right to be physically active. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not hurrying. I'm just thinking a little bit. We need to understand that bodies are considered dead when they don't move. I'm not going any further with that, okay? Our meeting place, where it's all right to be physically active and on our feet with uplifted hands, where it's in order to praise God with a loud voice and worship God together. Hallelujah. Thank God for the meeting place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we're free with our amens. Amen. All right. Had to wait a little bit, but better late than never. When we can turn loose of praise the Lord's. Amen. I've been in a few places where I said, praise the Lord, in a normal tone of voice, and everybody turned and looked at me. Where we can let go of a powerful hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not be thought strange and different. And where we have the freedom to give thanks to God always. Always. Amen, amen, amen. Where we can clap our hands like you're clapping. Where we can dance in the Spirit. Where we can run the aisles if we want to. Where we can shout the glory down. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give Him praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. That's more to it than that. Give it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Entertain His presence. He is in the house. He is with us today. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I don't like much. Let me finish. Our meeting place should emphasize not just the availability or the possibility of receiving the Holy Ghost, but focuses on the necessity of receiving the Holy Ghost. And not only being filled with, still with me? But staying full of the Holy Ghost. When they started looking for help to get the work done in the early church, one of the requirements was those men among you who are full of the Holy Ghost. We have a little problem sometimes. As I said, we scatter all over the central, the south central Wisconsin area. We have a little problem. We go out to that monotonous everyday job and we struggle with people and we work with situations and we get discouraged. You get an amen on that? Let me tell you what the solution is. It's not in whether you received the Holy Ghost 10 years ago. It's whether you're full of it today. If you're having some problem areas in your life, you need to look inside your life and decide that I don't want to just get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to take hold of Jesus Christ. I want to be in on every service. I want to walk into every house of God that I can get a chance. And I want to stay full. I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Stay full of Him. Come on, let's praise Him together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. You see, without our meeting place, without our church, not many people know what we really think about our God. You bring conviction every Sunday morning when you get ready and come to church to your neighbors, your friends, people you know about. You bring conviction Sunday evening when you come to church, Wednesday night when you come to Bible study. You bring that conviction. People are going to know where you're going. They're going to know you're Christians. They're going to know you believe something different. We need to have a meeting place. Otherwise, we don't actually demonstrate our faith and activate our works. Without the church, we can't declare our gospel. We can't efficiently or effectively baptize our converts or keep up with our visitors or anything else that's important. Without our meeting place, we can't as easily pray people through to the Holy Ghost. Anybody with me? Without the church, there'd be no place to assemble together away from this whole world to praise and magnify and worship God. Without our church, our meeting place, there'd be no place where we could effectively pray together. Amen. Without our meeting place, we can't be isolated from the pressures and the problems of daily life. This church, our meeting place, is our island of rescue in the sea of despair. This church, this meeting place, is our harbor of refuge from the storms of life. Come on in. Come on in. Obey the Lord. Submit to God. He has a solution to your problems. He has healing for your sicknesses. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. This meeting place, singers, would you come? Just about ready. This meeting place is our oasis of rest and refreshment in the desert of the dreariness of life. This church is our safest, most secure refuge in this life. It's our place of prayer. Without the church, where's the place of encounter between a man and his maker? Without the church, how's the potter going to shape the divine vessel of the soul? Without the church, our meeting place, how are we going to ever be able to touch the hem of his garment? Without the church, where will our children think their parents pray? Without the church, how will our grandchildren and children be saved? Amen. Without the church, how will the Spirit ever be able to move freely to minister to our needs? Without the church, how can we continue to effectively pray one for another? Would you stand? I'm done. I want to read one more scripture. Revelation 21, the wind up of earthly history. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, starting at the first verse. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. You know what our marriage supper is? The bride is the church. Our our city, the New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. Amen. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's the church. And he's promising here just what he promised when he was here in an earthly body, that he would dwell with them and they will be his people. God himself shall be with them. God shall be their God. Man, if you have any feelings about how important the church is, will you just step out and come down? I want everybody in the house, if you can get down here, crowd in here, and let's lift our hands and praise and worship God for the meeting place, the church. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come worshiping. Come praising. Come praising.